Hello and welcome to episode 142. That number's starting to get a little big, of the Bronx Beat podcast. I'm your host, EJ Fagan. Tonight, I'm joined by Scott Moss.
Hey, guys.
And Jim Carruthers.
Hey, EJ.
Guys, sometimes you're having a day and you're just having a Gary Sanchez day, and just sometimes you're having a punch yourself in the face day. I'm having a Gary Sanchez day. How about you guys?
I think every day should be Gary Sanchez day, at least for the. I think May is just going to be Gary Sanchez month, so that's where I'm. That's where my head's at.
I am having so much fun watching him. I think he just pulled ahead of. Did he just pull ahead of Judge or tie Judge in terms of home runs hit in his career?
He's got to be right there. People forget how good of a hitter he is, and he certainly doesn't strike out as much as Judge. And it's much more artful when he swings as opposed to what Judge does, which is just strength and violence.
And strength and violence can work sometimes, and I'll take it. I forget what his BABIP is, but like Gary Sanchez has been getting unlucky with balls in play this year, and the BABIP kind of is a little bit understated because he's hit so many home runs, but I think he's got some serious regression coming.
Oh yeah, I think definitely, because looking at a couple numbers, he's still hitting the home runs. He has 8 homers and just over 100 plate appearances, I think, and then he's not striking out a tremendous amount. He's still relatively low strikeout. He's low 20s percent, which is pretty low for these days for a power hitter. And he's also making hard contact. So if you're hitting hard contact and you're not striking out, normally your BABIP is going to be pretty good. So that just hints that it's completely luck that he has a low batting average.
Yeah, and I think that we Gary Sanchez has enough of a track record at this point that there's no reason to be nervous when he has a bad month. He's going to be Gary Sanchez from here on out, yeah. Or better, or hitting a ninth inning home run every other game. If that's also Gary Sanchez, so that's the good news. I've always got to start optimistically and then bring us all down, because Jordan Montgomery is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with an elbow. Flexor strain. Is that correct? Am I saying that right? Let's see here. Flexor mass strain. All right. So, Jim, why don't I ask you, what is a flexor mass strain, and is it good?
It's not the worst thing. I mean, the one that you dread in all this, I think, is the UCL. That leads to Tommy John, and that's the time bomb with Tanaka. That's the one that you worry about. This sounds like it's a strain more in the forearm. It reminds me, I didn't have a chance to look it up, but it reminds me about 5-6 years ago, Rivera had a forearm strain. It's as opposed to, it leads to obviously to a pitcher being shut down, but definitely not structural within the ligaments of the elbow. So it's not as bad as it could be, I think is kind of the takeaway for me. Based on what I've read so far.
Yeah, and the flexor mass strain, again, I'm not a doctor here, or former pitcher, but everything I've read over the years that it can be a precursor to Tommy John, because the flexor mass is the collection of muscle near the elbow and the connective tissue in the elbow, which can include that ligament, but it sometimes isn't. Sometimes guys come back quickly. Other times, I've definitely read that it can be a precursor. So a lot of it depends on exactly where it is, and not like they're answering cross-examination questions about where Montgomery exactly has the strain or what the MRI looks like. But I actually had a flexor mass strain a year ago.
Really?
It's because I was actually pitching to my kid a lot, who was 8 and he was just getting to baseball. And then one day I filled in for a little league coach who couldn't make it. I said, let me, run the practice. So I ran the practice, and the whole practice for 1 hour 15 was me just pitching while kids hit. But when you pitch in little league practice, you're just throwing ball after ball from a hopper. I calculated at the end that I threw about 300 pitches. Now, I wasn't throwing 90. I doubt I was throwing half that, or maybe, but things swelled up afterwards, and it was bad. I had to put myself in the DL for a couple of weeks.
Oh, so that's interesting. So Jordan Montgomery has a great record of health. The fact that this isn't a UCL, I think, is encouraging. And I think at this point, we're just basically in a waiting game, right? We're going to wait for Jordan Montgomery until probably the All-Star break is kind of my guess. Usually if a player's coming back kind of close to the All-Star break, they'll wait till the All-Star break to give him that extra couple of months. And it's too bad because Montgomery was having a really good start to the season and was really following up with his success last season. So now we're going to talk about what the Yankees will do to replace him. It looks like the first guy to get a shot at replacing Jordan Montgomery will be Domingo Germán. We're going to talk about him. The thing about him, though, is that the thing about this injury is that he's going to be out for a long time. There's going to be 2 months, so what, roughly 13, 14 starts that the Yankees are going to have to replace, which means that multiple guys might get a shot here. So we're going to talk about both the options right now, like players that could be called up tomorrow, including Domingo Germán, and we're going to be talking about maybe some other options that might get a shot if the first or plan A or B don't really work out. So first, let's talk about Domingo Germán. Scott, how confident are you that Domingo Germán is good?
Pretty confident. I mean, you can only be so confident when someone hasn't really had his shot in the majors yet, but he's done really well. The stuff is carried over the majors. He's getting the swings and misses. The control's been kind of off, but that's all been in relief outings when I imagine they're just telling you to air it out, and they're not bringing him in, if I just anecdotally remember right, they're not bringing him in with men on second and third in the seventh in a close game. That's Chad Green's job or Robertson or whoever. So, when he comes in to start an inning, he's had most of his outings have been 2 to 3 innings. But so they're telling him to air it out. He's not coming in with a men on situation where you'd really worry about the walk. So I'm not tremendously worried about the walk rates of about a walk every 2 innings in the majors, because in the minors, his control has been really good. So I think that's a blip. I'm as confident as you can be in someone who hasn't had a major league start yet.
Jim, what is your opinion on Domingo Germán?
I like, I think there's some good deception in his delivery. It seems like, obviously not from the batter's eye, but I think he hides his fastball pretty well. But his arm, to me, his arm does tend to trail a little bit, and I think that's what leads to some of the, maybe it's like wildness within the strike zone. The fastball seems to leak a little bit on him now and then. So I don't know if he's ever going to be the kind of pitcher who, sits at 95 and can throw the fastball to both sides of the plate. Just because he doesn't seem like he's got the mechanics that are well suited for accuracy like that, but I think his style and he's between his stuff, which good fastball, solid slider, and a changeup that's enough for show, and I think he's willing to throw any pitch in any count, which is the most impressive part for me as he's like kind of turned the corner past couple outings, is that he's willing to throw a changeup. Even though if it's not a great pitch, it gets people off his fastball. And I think that's a good place to start. He's got some good outings here in the majors now. And he has 3 show me pitches, or 3 pitches that he's willing to show to keep people off of his bread and butter, which is that nice fastball.
Yeah, I'll say, and I got a little bit of background noise coming from Scott right now. Scott, by the way, is recording because he's a trooper from the Phoenix airport, I think it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so terrible airport, so just be aware of that background noise. We're gonna have to work around that. I've been thinking about you think about Germán, and it feels like he's had like a rocky start to his major league career. His major league career has actually been really good. If you look at the statistics, he has now 28 innings or almost 29 innings, between late 2017 and early 2018. Mostly out of the bullpen, mostly in kind of this like long relief role you guys are talking about. He's got an ERA of 3.45, a FIP of 3.89, a strikeouts per nine of 11.3. He's got a high walk rate, but he hasn't had a lot of hard contact against him, even though his control hasn't been great. At the minors, at AAA, actually, before we get to his AAA numbers, his StatCast numbers. So during that same time, he's got a 276 expected weighted on base average, which is a little bit better than his pretty solid 304 actual weighted on base average. So he's performed well at the major leagues, and in the minors he's got a track record. I mean, we've been saying this ad nauseum for the last couple of months, like maybe Domingo Germán deserves a shot. Why aren't they giving him a shot? I think that he's going to get a shot. He's going to get at least a couple of starts to show what he can do. Hopefully they can kind of stretch him out fairly quickly. And I think there's a reasonable chance that he's as good as Jordan Montgomery. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question. He's got better stuff than Montgomery.
definitely there.
Yeah, and one thing I'll add about Herman is that, first of all, I love that Jim has this ability to talk about pitching mechanics that I don't, you know. And
yeah, I have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, one thing I'll say, though, is because I don't know exactly what, I tend to view the Yankees as a fairly smart organization these days. So the fact that Domingo Herman has jumped a bunch of guys in line tells me something, in my view. Because if you go back to 2016, I think it was, as of 2016, he had thrown very few innings in even high A. As of 2016, he'd had 23 innings in high A, and that was the peak of his experience. Before that, he was a low A guy. So he's essentially leapfrogged in the Yankees' minds. Chance Adams, Dan Camarena, Domingo Acevedo. Justus Sheffield came about, came around the next year, but was sort of at the same level and is, you know, stagnated. So I think they definitely see something in him that makes me think they're really confident in him.
All right, so let's move on. So I think we all pretty much agree on Domingo Herman, so I don't want to belabor that point. Hopefully he does well in the next couple of starts. They're probably going to skip him a couple of times. We'll see what happens. I want to go a little more quickly through the rest of the list. Other players the Yankees have around who might be options. So let's start off with the really short-term options. A.J. Cole. They acquired him from the Nationals about 2 weeks ago, I think. I think he's technically on the Major League roster, though. I'm not sure if he's actually pitched yet. Jim, is A.J. Cole an option they should consider at all?
No, he can only exist. Yeah, he can. I mean, and I'm sure he's probably a nice guy, but he can only exist to be a long man if one of the more meaningful prospects in the system gets into trouble and they need somebody to come in and eat innings along the way. But you can't take a team this good and start a game off with A.J. Cole unless everyone else is stuck in traffic on their way to the stadium.
I agree. You know, I think A.J. Cole is one of those guys. He's a prospect who's been around for a while, so like a lot of people are familiar with his name. He's been real bad in the majors when he's pitched in the majors. Yeah. I mean, he has a major league FIP of 5.31. He gave up a ton of runs in his, I think, his first and maybe only start, or one of his only starts this season. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a break glass if six guys get injured guy at AAA. I don't really honestly see the point of keeping him on the Major League roster. So let's move on to more interesting picks. All right, Scott, should the Yankees consider in the very near future calling up Chance Adams?
I think so. And it's amazing how much Chance Adams has fallen out of favor, seemingly with the Yankees. Again, Herman has leapfrogged him. He's just not getting called up. It was defensible not to call him up late last year because you'd have to add him to the 40-man. But at this point, he's been a AAA a while, so it's glaring that he's not getting called up. Now, it could be perfectly justifiable, but my view on Chance Adams is this, which is that he's as ready as he's going to be. So unless you're just never going to give the man a shot, why not give him the shot now? I mean, yes, he could learn something at some later point, but really he's had a full year AAA, essentially, well, almost a full year last year. He's had 5 starts this year. You know, anything is left to learn. I suspect you learn more from the major league experience and staff coaching than the minors. And you can say, well, they're in a pennant race now. But yeah, our hope is that they'll be in a pennant race next year and the year after. So I think that, yes, they put him behind Herman in line. But I think the other options are going to be underwhelming enough that it'd be unfortunate not to see him get a shot. And I don't think he's going to be more ready now than he is now in a month or two or three.
All right, so I'm going to those other options. I got one in my pocket, but I'm going to wait on that for a second. Scott, I want to ask you a quick question though. Does Chance Adams' slow start to the season at AAA? So at AAA so far, he's pitched 5 starts, 24 and 2/3 innings, 5.11 ERA, decent strikeout rate. In fact, improved strikeout rate from last year, but high walk rate, high home run rate. Does that concern you any more than it? If this was just the first start of the season and so you didn't have that minor league track record, would you think any differently of him?
I don't think so, just because it's been relatively few starts and the reports I've heard that don't look good, it's really just that he still doesn't have the command you'd want. In other words, I'm not hearing reports that he's down 3 miles an hour or his control is suddenly worse. And I'm looking at the game logs in the minors and yeah, it's been that he's had given up a home run in 4 of his 5 starts. There's only one where it looks like, no, in all the starts, he threw about 60% or more strikes. So it doesn't seem like he's just not getting the ball over the plate as much as that walk rate would hint. And it's not like he's getting clobbered. So, you know, it seems like they've been middling results, but not, oh my God, everybody at AAA is killing him.
Okay, Jim, do you disagree with Scott at all?
I think, you know, the thing is, the walk rate, and it seems like the quality of the contact this year is out of family with what we've come to expect with him in the last couple of years when he became an exciting prospect. The number one thing that, you know, as we go through this list that I'm looking at is somebody that can come up and at least throw strikes. I think that's the biggest thing that minor leaguers struggle with promotion. They get afraid of the strike zone. And if he's already having trouble with it in AAA, I don't really trust him at the major league level. And until he gets that figured out and at least gets, you know, two or three starts where the hard contact and the walks are down at AAA, I think they have better options, you know, within their own system or even on the market. So I would hold him for now and let him sort it out.
So I'm kind of in between. I think I want to call him up for the bullpen, right? The scouting reports, I'm sure the Yankees have, you know, at least some idea of whether or not this guy is going to end up as a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. And maybe they strongly believe that it's going to be a starting pitcher. Maybe they think that there's, you know, some kind of somewhere in between. Maybe they think he's a dead-on relief pitcher. The scouts seem to think that he's a dead-on relief pitcher at this point. And the Yankees kind of need the extra righty at the moment. Like, the Yankees currently have in the back end of their bullpen both A.J. Cole and David Hale. Like, those guys are replacement players at best. Cole might be well below replacement level. And at that point, you start asking yourselves, like, these guys are going to get some innings, and so why are the Yankees not experimenting with a potential high-ceiling reliever? And if a guy like Ben Heller was healthy, I'd say you call up, you know, the guy who's already been converted to relief pitching and dominating AAA. But they don't really have that guy in their AAA bullpen at the moment. They have Chance Adams. I think you convert the guy to the bullpen, maybe you give him a week in the minors to kind of learn how to be out of the bullpen. Call him up and you see what he's worth. If he blows batters away and, you know, the chance for a spot start comes up, maybe you give him a spot start, see what he can do. Maybe you send him back down to the minors to stretch out or something like that. But I think that's the plan with Chance Adams at the moment.
I could see that. I mean, he does kind of strike me as like a poor man's Adam Warren. In terms of like what he can do. I think his fastball in spring training was down from what Adam Warren was when he first came up. I would like to see that, especially if it meant AJ Cole went away. So I would endorse that.
Yeah. All right. And so next up, we have a couple of other players. Let's go with the most exciting player first. And we're going to go with my pet project immediately after that. Most exciting player currently at AA, Justice Sheffield. 21 years old. He throws heat. He's a left-handed pitcher, and he currently has through five starts at AA, 28 innings pitched. So he's been throwing like 7 and 8 innings in his most recent starts. A 2.25 ERA, very similar FIP. He's got 12.5 strikeouts per nine. He's got an elevated walk rate at 4.5, but generally speaking, he is dominating AA. Will likely be promoted AAA at any moment now. Obviously, we would all love to see Justice Sheffield succeed in the majors, and he's the next big Yankee pitching prospect at this point. I think the consensus is he's better than Chance Adams. So here's the question I want to ask you guys. Under what circumstances would you call him up? Let's say that Domingo Germán, three starts from now, is not pitching very well. He's had three kind of dud starts, and Sheffield has like three AAA starts ready to go. At that point, I don't know who goes next, Scott. Would you call up Justice Sheffield and see what he can do?
I wouldn't. Not just that AA to the majors is a jump, but that he hasn't had that much time at AA. I guess if he had this year and last year, yeah, he's had two-thirds of a season about. But both last year and this year, the control hasn't been great. It hasn't been awful, but AA is 3.6 walks per nine. And you know, this early in the season, whether majors or minors, I tend to look a lot of the game logs just to see basically is he, are the bad numbers just a relic of one start or something like that where he walked five guys? And it doesn't look like it, just staring at it. In two of his starts, it looks like he threw only about half strikes. So it seems like it's that he, you know, pretty generally has a bit south of the control you'd want. Again, that's AA where they're just more likely to swing at stuff. So it's nothing against him. This doesn't make me think worse of him as a prospect, but maybe if it's a guy who's doing absolutely everything right in a full season at AA, you consider it maybe for a bullpen role more, but I think he's not there yet.
All right, Jim, what would you want to see before you call up Justice Sheffield?
I'm in the same boat. I mean, it's great that he's missing bats. I mean, that's fantastic. But the walk rate is too high right now. I'd like to see him go up. You know, we talked a lot about how, you know, the Thunder's home park is pretty pitcher friendly. I'd like to see him go up to Scranton, get a couple, outings up there, probably 3 to 5 starts. And I think that timing works out well with the evaluation period for Herman, kind of like what you were saying. To me, if he goes through 3 to 5 starts and we're talking about walking, you know, three walks per nine or something like that along those numbers, and the K rate stays absurd, then I'm probably thinking about it, because he's had a fair amount of time in AA last year, and his stuff I think could translate. The only lingering item with him is the walks, and if he can keep people on base, then he's not going to learn anything at AAA, and he's got to come up and get a cup of coffee at least.
Yeah, I mean, here are my thoughts on Sheffield. This is the first really sustained period of elite-level success that he's had in the minor leagues. He's had times where he's limited runs. He's never really given up a lot of runs. He's been hard to hit. But he didn't get, like, the really killer strikeout rates that everybody predicted, given his stuff. I mean, he throws, you know, mid-90s with, like, I think it's a slider. And his age. Given all that, like, there's been an expectation that he has another gear to turn on. And this is the first that we've really seen it. And I think he needs a little bit more time to maintain that gear. I don't think we have enough right now to kind of jar him and call him up. I think he should get the AAA promotion and see how he does there. But I'd actually want a couple of months of Justice Sheffield being elite before he gets called up to the major leagues. If there's, say, a Jordan Montgomery setback, then all of a sudden he becomes like a post all-star break option, I think. But at this point, I think the Yankees have better options, one of which I'm going to convince you of right now. So the player I think the Yankees should consider immediately after Domingo Herman is a player I don't think we've ever talked about on this podcast, and I rarely see discussed, but I'm a big fan, and that is the next Jordan Montgomery, Josh Rogers. So, all right, here's the pitch. You never heard of Josh Rogers. I don't blame you. I know very little about him as well. College guy, the Yankees picked him up in the 11th round, but they gave him third round money. So, you know, that's the kind of talent. We're not talking about a non-talent. We're talking about a college player who the Yankees bought out of his senior year. So that is roughly equivalent to Jordan Montgomery. He is 6'3", not 6'6", but he's still a tall, left-handed, kind of lanky pitcher, like Jordan Montgomery. Again, not Jordan Montgomery tall, but, you know, getting kind of close to it. Big program college guy, throws in the low 90s, occasionally in the high 80s, has 4 pitches, right? Has a great minor league track record, a really, really strong minor league track record. He's got, he's basically had Jordan Montgomery like stats everywhere, high strikeout rates, low walk rates, really strong ERAs. I'm not going to read out his numbers here in an audio format. The only real blemish on his record is he missed most of last season with bone chips in his elbow, but he got those removed. He's pitching great right now. He's having probably the best minor league season of his career so far at AAA at the age of 24. 30 innings pitched, over 5 starts, so he's really going deep into games. 9 strikeouts per 9, 1.5 walks per 9. He's only allowed like 1 or 2 home runs so far. I think Josh Rogers is Jordan Montgomery. What do you guys think?
I as soon as I saw his name on the list, I knew, and you kind of buried it in our homework. You know, you didn't put it in the first, you didn't put it in the last. As soon as I saw that, I knew where you were going with this. I love, so the one stat that matters to me, 3 walks in 31 innings. I'm sorry, in 30 innings. The control is absolutely there. I think that the fastball is always going to be the worrisome component. He's not going to blow people away with it. But I think he's demonstrated, you know, this year that he's ready to throw and at least command his stuff like a big league pitcher. I'm a little leery of the secondary stuff. I hear that the changeup is still heavily in development, and for a lefty to keep, you know, all these high quality righty bats that are in the AL off them, that's the part that worries me by the most.
Scott, what do you think about my man Josh Rogers?
I think you're totally right. They should basically turn over first base to Ryan McBroom and Mike Ford's platoon.
Let's not throw in the McBroom here. AJ Cole is the McBroom of this conversation.
That's true. No. I think, you know, I mean, I might put him in the same break glass in case of emergency that you said before for Cole, in that he might be more than that. The high 80s, low 90s is, you know, making me skeptical, but, you know, he might not be there yet. Someone like that is going to have a low margin for error, so maybe you'd consider bringing up a Sheffield prematurely eventually, but someone who doesn't have the overwhelming stuff sort of has to marinate, I think, as long as possible.
Look, I want a 6-man rotation so we can call up Josh Rogers. That's all I'm saying. All right, any other pitchers? Yeah.
So what about Dylan Tate? He's quietly
interesting.
Getting it done in Trenton. His ground ball, the fly ball ratio is great. It's over 1.5.
Why don't you tell the people a little bit about Dylan Tate, the history, because he's an interesting, got a very interesting history here.
Oh, I mean, he was, you know, very, very highly touted. I think drafted number one overall by Houston. Is that right?
He was like sixth overall or something. Yeah, fourth overall.
Very, very high round pick. And disappointed, I think, in the Houston farm system, and was kind of a throw-in or maybe a salvage operation.
Texas.
Yeah.
Texas farm system.
Oh, Texas, yeah. In the Beltran deal, right?
And, yep.
Fireballer. I mean, he's another guy that's, you know, Sheffield is kind of a slighter frame guy. Tate had a big, big arm coming out, and he lost a little bit of it in the Texas system. And when the Yankees got him as a reclamation, he was more of like a 93 guy. Fastball's back up, and he's throwing it, from what I understand, with a little more movement, which is driving some of that ground balls. And the command has been pretty good. He's not walking that many folks. He doesn't have the inning count of somebody like a Sheffield or certainly of your hero, Josh Rogers. But I think if you pitch hard and you're not afraid to pitch to contact and you're forcing other batters to put the ball on the ground, that's a good start. And I think that it's more of a flyer pick. If you put him out there, he's not some super highly touted prospect where if he crashes and burns, you destroy his ego. You know, he's a little more expendable than someone like a Sheffield. And with him being a power arm and a righty, you can kind of throw him in there. If it doesn't pan out, you can keep him up and have him be that right-handed bullpen guy that you're that you're desiring also in the middle of the pen.
So let me give, again, a little more background as well. So Dylan Tate was a guy who was drafted fourth overall with, like, you know, high 90s stuff. I think he was a college player. And his mechanics just got, like, all out of whack. So he wasn't injured, but he was throwing down the low 90s. He was throwing without control. He was just getting hammered. And the Yankees bought low on him not that long after he was drafted. I think he was drafted in 2015, and it was the 2016 trade deadline that they acquired him for Carlos Beltran from Texas. And they just sent him back to, one, they sent him back to low A, and then they sent him to the bullpen purely for mechanical reasons, right? They didn't intend for him to be in the bullpen long term, but they said, you're going to go there, you're going to work it out. And he did. It took him a while to get his stuff back, but by the end of last season, he was throwing 97, 98 again. He's starting. He's not going very deep into games, you're right, but his control is there, especially this season. He's got 1.3 walks per nine. I think you're onto something. I personally think he's a Triple A promotion before a Major League promotion. But a really interesting name, and you know, a name that's really flown under the radar in the Yankee system. Scott, what do you think about Dylan Tate?
I think I'd put Tate, Sheffield, maybe some others in the same category. You know, future All-Star Mike Rogers. I'd say there are a couple of things they could do, which is that I just looked at the Yankee schedule, and in May there's one or maybe two starts they could skip for this spot. So they only need to fill it a couple times. What I think you could do is, rather than rush guys from AA to the majors, you can take guys like Dylan Tate, Sheffield, Domingo Acevedo, Rogers, and whichever two or three of them are close enough to ready. You know, there's a difference between double and AAA, but if a guy's doing well at AA, he's not premature to send to AAA to see if he can learn a little more. So I might rush a couple guys to AAA. I'm assuming it's more art than science, figuring out when a guy is ready for AAA. But these are really talented guys who are doing well at AA. And I, you know, overall big picture I'm going to right now, but I think it's the answer to what you do with guys like Tate, Sheffield, Rogers is maybe speed a couple guys to AAA that you probably would have sent up in June anyway, and hope that over the course of May, this, you know, whole month, a couple prove that they are, you know, killing it at AAA as much as AA, and then maybe you think they're ready then.
All right, any other names you guys want to throw out as potential interesting call-ups?
I like Acevedo. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go for it. Acevedo.
He's on a problem with a blister. He's got a blister problem right now. But of all the people that we've mentioned, he's the only one that's on the 40-man, I think. So it's a much shorter putt. You don't have to make some kind of roster move to bring some of these other kids up. Big arm, another tall, he throws from a higher plane. And if he gets it in the strike zone, I think people are going to have trouble squaring it up. He's a little, probably profiles longer as like a Dylan Betances type, but I'm just dying to see him in the main.
I'm with you too. 6'7", Domingo Acevedo with a killer fastball. I do think that he's not healthy though, so I think that is the one barrier right there. Scott, did you have another one?
Yeah, I had one more, which is the suggestion that everybody makes every now and then and nobody ever does it, which is our favorite fifth starter, bullpen day, which is basically a bunch of these guys who are on the border of being ready and a bunch of good relief arms. You can cobble together a really good start. And someone like Chance Adams or Herman is more likely to be of use if you only expect 2 to 3 innings out of him. And what you could do is just have 3 of them combine for 7 innings or whatever. And you find us the spots by, send down whatever reliever, if Shreve pitched 2 of the last 3 days and you send down Torres. And then you have some extra spots for that. And then you send him back down the next day. And then you can't use him for a while, but you don't need to. Because after some bullpen day start, you have 5 days and you might even skip the next start if there's an extra off day. And I just think it's a way that if you have a lot of arms who may not be ready for being major league starters right now or just yet, if ever, but they're power arms that basically have gotten over the ball, gotten the ball over the plate at double, triple A, 2-3 innings a person, you could have bring back Jonathan Holder. I know that's a loaded thing because a lot of people hate him now, but look, the guy struck out guys and hasn't walked guys in the majors. He had 2 monstrously bad outings, but hey, that's, out of a couple innings. Between him and Herman, maybe he could do full starts, but maybe he does 3 starts, or just maybe he's the starter, but you only count on 4 or 5 out of him to not stretch him out too much. Chance Adams doing 30 pitches or 40 pitches. In other words, you could have 2-3 guys get you the 7th or 8th, and I think that could be better than if they have to do someone other than Herman. It could be better than, I don't know, who's next? Cole, Sessa, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's an option that more teams should consider, especially if when they have these off days to kind of to jigger around. But I think that's about all we're going to talk about. We're at 32 minutes, so thank you guys for joining me. We're going to do we had on the schedule minor league roundup for today, and so we basically just did that. So this was great fun, guys. Hopefully the Yankees will continue to win against the Houston Astros. They're currently up 2-0, and this has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.